Well, today we begin our sermon series, Foundations for the Family. Over the next several weeks, we're going to look at glorifying God in singleness, unity in marriage, unity in the home, passing on the faith to future generations, and Pastor Jim is going to preach on Greek yogurt. If that doesn't make any sense to you, please read his Jim Shorts article from last week. But today we're going to focus on Christian families being, as it were, little churches. The great 4th century preacher John Chrysostom urged that every house should be a church, and every head of a family a spiritual shepherd, remembering the account he must give. Jonathan Edwards, who's widely regarded as one of America's greatest theologians, said the following, "Let me now once more repeat and earnestly press the counsel which I've often urged on the heads of families, that they in great painfulness in teaching, warning, and directing their children, bringing them up in the training and admonition of the Lord, beginning early and maintaining constant diligence." He said every Christian family ought to be, as it were, a little church consecrated to Christ and wholly influenced and governed by his rules. Most importantly, the Bible lays the primary responsibility for the discipleship of the family on the husband, the father. Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14 point to the husband's responsibility to be an example of discipleship himself and to disciple his wife. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Of course, mom plays a very vital role in this, helping dad with this. And if dad is an absentee dad, or he doesn't know Christ as Lord and Savior, then the primary responsibility for the discipleship of the children lies on the mother's shoulders. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul wrote this to Timothy, "I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am now persuaded lives in you also." It is of utmost importance that every church and every Christian would desire and to see every Christian family be, as it were, a little church. Now, Scripture is abundantly clear of the importance of corporate worship as we're taking part in right now. The Scripture is also abundantly clear of the importance of the leadership of the elders in the local church and the church's responsibility to submit to the leaders of the elders in as much as they are following the Word of God. For a person to profess to know Jesus and not be regularly committed to a local church is clearly unbiblical and is in willful disobedience to God. Unless one is physically incapable of being committed to a local church, or in a very exceptional situation where that cannot take place, they would be in direct, willful disobedience to God. So when a Christian family today is referred to as a little church, this obviously does not mean we just stay at home and do church by ourselves on Sunday morning. Yet, a healthy, vibrant, God-glorifying, and world-impacting universal and local church will always be made up of Christian families that, as it were, are healthy and balanced little churches. Now, as we look today at the family as a little church and what that looks like, this does not exclude marriages without children, empty nesters, grandparents, singles, widows, widowers, roommates, etc. No one is excluded from being part of a little church outside of Sunday morning worship unless they themselves exclude themselves by isolating themselves. The Bible's clear that we all have many grandparents, many fathers, many mothers, many brothers, many sisters, and many children in the family of God. When Jesus was told that his mother and brothers were standing outside of a house, here's how he responded. "Those who do the will of my Father in heaven are my brother and my mother and my sister." All who are in Christ are part of one big eternal family. If you're in Christ, you're part of my eternal family, and I am part of your eternal family, whether you like it or not. You're stuck with me. Though the emphasis today will be mostly on dad and mom and children in the home, married couples without children, empty nesters, widows, widowers, singles, roommates, or whatever your current life stage or situation is, you can apply these things in creative ways with others in the body of Christ. For example, I know a group of superhero guys here at LifePoint who live together as roommates, as it were, as a little church. One of them thinks he's Spider-Man, the other one thinks he's the Hulk, the other one Thor, the other one Iron Man. I don't get it, I don't understand it, but what I can tell you is I know they are encouraging one another to live for the true superhero, Jesus Christ. I know of many married couples here at LifePoint without children in the home who read the Bible together every day and pray together every day and not just at dinner time. I know a widow here at LifePoint who has a young woman living with her as a roommate, and they have, as it were, a little church together. In Christ, we are a family when we gather together for corporate worship on Sunday morning, and in Christ, we are a family throughout the week. The church is described most often in the Bible as a family. And what is the church's purpose or mission corporately, individually, and as Christian families? The mission of the church of Jesus Christ is simply this: to preach the gospel and to baptize those who respond to the gospel in repentance and faith, and then to teach them to obey everything that Christ has commanded us. That's the mission for every church, every Christian, and every Christian family. And to be healthy and balanced requires every single one of us to be healthy and balanced in worship, in grow, in connect, in serve, and in share. In Acts chapter 2, in many other places in the Bible, we see that everyone who professes to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is to be devoted to worship, devoted to discipleship, devoted to fellowship, devoted to serving, and to be devoted to evangelism. We're to be devoted to all of these priorities. They're not options. This is why our five core priorities at LifePoint are worship, grow, meaning discipleship, connect, meaning fellowship, serve, and then share, meaning evangelism. These priorities are always on our church's website. They are always on the bulletin you receive every Sunday morning, which our wonderful ushers pass out to you, and that we hope that you read. These five priorities are always talked about in our membership classes. We are to be balanced and healthy in these five priorities as a church, as individuals, and as Christian families. You cannot be a healthy and balanced Christian if you're not healthy and balanced in worship, grow, connect, serve, and share. Everything that Jesus commanded us to do can be poured into one or more of those five priorities. So today, we're going to focus on how to saturate our families, our little churches, as it were, in worship, grow, connect, serve, and share. But please keep in mind that these priorities apply to the church as a whole and to every individual Christian, regardless of your life situations. So, this is not nap time for anyone, and the security team has been given permission to slap anyone who falls asleep. Yeah, not really, but it sounds good. So to begin with, in order to saturate our families and worship, grow, connect, serve, and share, we must have biblical motivation. Our motivation must be to glorify God. And we will want to glorify God when we behold his glory and as we focus on the gospel. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us that we're transformed when? When we behold the glory of God. And what does it mean to behold the glory of God? It's to focus on how great God is, to focus on his attributes, to meditate upon them, to think of them often. Romans 12 tells us that as we focus on the mercy of God, as displayed in the gospel, we will want to offer our entire beings as a living sacrifice to God in worship to him. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that it's Christ's love as displayed in the gospel that compels us to live for him. Titus 2 says it's the grace of God as displayed in the gospel, that makes us eager and willing and wanting to live for Christ. As we focus on how great God is and what he's done for us through the gospel, no one will have to twist our arm to get us to worship, to grow, to connect, to serve, and to share. If these are not currently high priorities in our lives and in our families, it's because we're not rightly focusing on the glory of God, and we're not rightly focusing on the gospel. When we focus on the glory of God and the gospel, how can we not want to worship God? How can we not want to know him better, to love him more, and to become more like him? How can we not want to connect, have fellowship with other believers in genuine fellowship? How can we not want to serve God and others? And how can we not want to share the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ with others so that they can know the one true living God through Jesus Christ? The glory of God and the gospel is our motivation as a church, as individuals, and as Christian families to be healthy and balanced in worship, grow, connect, serve, and share. The Bible tells us to live is Christ. The only meaning of life, the only purpose of life is to live for Jesus Christ. What he values, we must value. His priorities must become our priorities. And if we're focused on the glory of God and the gospel, whatever it is that is keeping us from being healthy and balanced in these five core priorities, we will seek to rid from our lives and from our crazy American busy schedules. Why? Because it's for the glory of God. It's for the benefit and the love of other people, and it's for our own greatest good. Now, how should and how can these priorities be lived out in the Christian family, as it were, as a little church? Well, men, it starts with the heads of the family. It starts with husbands and fathers. We should be leading in worship, grow, connect, serve, and share for the glory of God. And as a byproduct of making these high priorities in our own lives, it will be a great example to our wives, to our children, to the entire church and the entire world. Yes, wives, moms, and every professing Christian is to make worship, grow, connect, serve, and share high priorities in their lives also. However, men, we are to lead in these things both in our families and with our families. Our responsibility as men does not end with teaching others what to do. We are to model it. We are to be engaged in and with our families in these things. Jesus did not just tell people to go worship, grow, connect, serve, and share. He modeled it for them, and he engaged in these things with his disciples. In Joshua 24:15, we read these words from Joshua. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Let's start with worship. Husbands and fathers, do we seek to glorify God in everything we do? Does our use of time, money, talents show that we seek to glorify God in all that we do? The Bible teaches us that all of life is worship. Not just what we do here on Sunday morning. Every single aspect of life is to be an act of worship. Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. All of life is to be lived in trusting, thankful worship to God. Men, do we lead by example a life of worship? Do we disciple our families in a life of worship? And do we worship with them not only on Sunday morning, but throughout the week? Men, would our wives and children say that our lives are more conformed to the pattern of this world or to holiness, sacrifice, and pleasing God? Do our families know that we are committed to spending time with God in prayer? Do they see us committed to spending time with God in prayer? Do they hear us praise and thank God regularly just simply for who He is? Do we strive to think and live like God is always in control? He's always good, and our greatest good is always to become more like Jesus Christ. Do we model how great God is and that He is more than enough, not just in the easy, smooth times, but when times are difficult? And are our prayers more focused on thanking and praising God for who He is, or asking Him for things? Not that it's always wrong to ask God for things if in accordance with His will. However, do we show that God Himself is our greatest treasure, and we truly believe that He is more than enough? Do our families see our great dependence upon God in everything? Do we daily saturate our families with the gospel? Is the gospel the center of our life and the center of our family? And men, what about our marriages? Marriage is to be a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. Christ dies for the church. The church lives for Christ. Husbands are to daily give their lives for their wife as an act of worship. And wives are to daily live for their husbands as an act of worship. Do we spend at least a couple times a week reading the Bible together with our families, praying together, and singing together, and talking about how we can apply the Word to our lives? What obstacles are we going to knock down so that our families would be, as it were, little churches who worship? God is glorified. And what a blessing it is to wives, to children, the entire church, and the entire world when men are healthy and balanced in worship, when we model worship, and our families are healthy and balanced in worship. Men, may it be true for each of us that as for me and my household, we will worship. Our next priority is grow or discipleship. 2 Peter 3:18 tells us, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To put it in simplest terms, grow is to become more like Jesus. And it is impossible to become more like Jesus apart from regular time spent with God in His Word. Husbands and fathers, are we spending time with God in His Word regularly? How can we, who truly believe that Jesus suffered and died on the cross for our sins, and that He loves us so much that He saved us from the eternal hell that we deserve, how can we not want to spend time with God in prayer and in His Word regularly? My guess is if we're not doing that, it's because we're not praising and thanking Him for the gospel every day. Because if we're praising Him and thanking Him every day for the gospel, we will want to spend time with God in His Word. Husbands, fathers, our number one priority in life every day is to spend time with our Heavenly Father in prayer and in His Word, and then seeking to live for His glory throughout the day. What obstacles do we need to get out of the way for this to happen? Should not our children, seeing our example and being trained and taught by us, be reading the Bible every day as soon as they know how to read? Myself, my marriage, and my family, we're far from perfect, and if you know us, you know that's true. Yet by God's grace, we did one thing right, and that was as soon as Anna and Leah learned how to read, every day they were reading a chapter a day in the Bible. Everyone in our family reads at least a chapter a day in the Bible. We write down a few things it says about God, a few things it says about mankind in general, and a few things we can apply. And we don't do family worship every day. We're not that good. But when we do get together for that, we share with one another what we read from that chapter each day. This has been a huge blessing to our family. And there's built-in accountability in doing something like this. Our homes, as little churches as it were, must be Bible saturated. The Bible must be central to everything we do, everything we don't do, and every decision we make. Everything must be filtered through a biblical lens. What obstacles are we going to knock down so that our families would be, as it were, little churches who grow. God is glorified. What a blessing it is to wives, to children, the entire church, and the entire world when men are healthy and balanced and grow, when they model grow, and their families are healthy and balanced and grow. Men, may it be true for each of us that as for me and my household, we will grow. Our next priority is connect, or fellowship. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 describes Christian fellowship like this. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Christian fellowship is genuine relationships centered on Christ. It's a wonderful thing to have Christian friends to watch a ball game with, to fish with, to go hiking with, or whatever. Yet Christian fellowship goes much, much deeper. Guys, do you have at least one brother in Christ? And ladies, do you have at least one sister in Christ who prays with you and for you, who rejoices with you and suffers with you, who you can cry on their shoulder, who will encourage you in the things of God, and who loves you enough to rebuke you when necessary? Lone Ranger types are very poor examples of connect. Every Christian needs a Christian kemosabe, if you will. Husbands and fathers, we are to lead and connect. We are to model connect, and we're to connect in and with our families. Men, do we regularly connect with our wives and children? Do our wives and children pray for our sin struggles and our trials? And if we don't share those things with them, how can they do that? Do our families connect with other Christians outside of Sunday morning worship, in our homes or other places? What obstacles are we going to get rid of so that our families will be, as it were, little churches who connect? God is glorified. What a blessing it is to wives and children when men are healthy and balanced and connect, when they model connect, and their families are healthy and balanced and connect. Men, may it be true for each of us that as for me and my household, we will connect. Let's move on to serve. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So men, are we leading our families and serve? Do we serve our wives, our children, the church, the community, the world? Are we modeling serve to our families? Men, do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Are you developing them? Are you using them? Do our wives and children know what their spiritual gifts are? Are they developing them and using them? And remember this, serving is not just something we do in formal ministries of the church. All of life should be an act of service to God and to others. Do we serve with our families in ways that they can serve also? I highly encourage you to find a way to serve with everyone in your family in ways that they can use their gifts. For example, our family serves at the Refuge Food Pantry in Greenwood once a month. And when we serve there, Dorinda gets to use her gift of administration as the clients come in. She checks them in. I get to use my gift of shepherding as I sit down as a coach with these people to listen to them, to pray for them, and share the gospel with them. And while we're doing that, Anna and Leah get to use their gift of service in providing the food for people. Be creative and find a way that your entire family can serve together using their gifts. And you can start on September 14th with Make an Impact. What obstacles are we going to clear out of the way that our families would be, as it were, little churches who serve? God is glorified. What a blessing it is to wives and children when men are healthy and balanced and serve, when they model serve, and their families are healthy and balanced and serve. Men, may it be true for each of us that as for me and my household, we will serve. Our last, but not certainly least priority is share or evangelism. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And he gave us this promise, "I will be with you in doing this until the end of the age." Men, have we been trained and equipped in how to share the gospel? And are we sharing the gospel? Have our wives and children actually observed us share the gospel? Have our wives and children been trained in how to share the gospel? Are they sharing the gospel? Do we pray for the lost? Do we model a love for the lost by praying for them? Do we evangelize together as a family? Here's some different ways that you can share the gospel together as a family. Very simple one. Have people over for dinner. Neighbors, coworkers, family, strangers who don't know the Lord, get to know them, love them, listen to them, serve them, and gently and respectfully share the gospel with them. You can be a safe family or do foster care. We have children live in the home with you where everyone in your family has the opportunity to share the gospel with them. You can be a host family for a college student or have an exchange student live with you where everyone gets to know them, shares the gospel with them. You can deliver meals to people's homes at Thanksgiving for Servant's Heart, or presents to people's homes at Christmas for Servant's Heart. And you can not only take them food and presents, take them the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. You can go on an evangelism mission trip together where everyone has the opportunity to share the gospel. No matter where you are or what you're doing as a family, you can pray for opportunities to share the gospel. Be alert to them and take them. There are many creative ways that you can learn to share the gospel as a family. Once again, what obstacles are we going to break down and get rid of so that our families could be, as it were, little churches who share? God is glorified. What a blessing it is to wives, children, the entire church, and the entire world when men are healthy and balanced and share. They model share, and their families are healthy and balanced and share. Men, may it be true of each of us that as for me and my household, we will share. There is no church, no individual Christian, and no Christian family that is healthy and balanced perfectly in worship, grow, connect, serve, and share. Yet if Jesus is our Lord, that's what we want to strive to be. Men, if we've not led our families to be, as it were, little churches, let's confess our sin to God and ask for forgiveness. And let's confess our sin to our wives and to our children and whoever we need to and ask for forgiveness. And remember, if we're in Christ, though we hate where we've blown it and we regret it, there's a wonderful promise. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Husbands, fathers, wives, mothers, children, singles, widows, widowers, roommates, whatever your current life situation and stage is, may the gospel, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, motivate you and your family to be healthy and balanced in worship, grow, connect, serve, and share. We, the elders at LifePoint, we are to be committed and devoted to these five priorities in our own lives. And we, the elders of LifePoint, are to be committed and devoted to helping you as individuals and as families to be healthy and balanced in these priorities. Let us help to equip you as individuals and as families. Reach out to us. That's why we're here. We are here to equip the saints for the work of service. Let us pray. Lord God, you are glorious. And your gospel is glorious. Help us to praise you first thing every day for your glory, for who you are, for the gospel. Help us men to lead as you call us to lead. Help our families to follow. May your universal church and your local church here at LifePoint seek to glorify you in all these things, that your holy name might be lifted up. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's stand together. We're going to conclude today singing a couple songs. This is all to us. He is our foundation. God is who we glorify. Let that be the passion of ourselves, our families, and our church.